And all the time. Good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you on this. What a gorgeous weekend so far, isn't it? Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much for being here. I really, really appreciate it. If you're visiting with us today, we put out a special welcome to you, and we thank you so much for your presence. If all of us would turn to the connection card that is in the back of your bulletin, this does tear off. You may have to fold it back and forth a couple times to get it to tear, but we invite you to do that. And if you're visiting with us, if you especially would fill out, put your name, address, telephone number, so that we can greet you properly and say welcome to First Church. We do appreciate your presence. And that later on in the service, if you would put that as a visitor, if you'd put that in the offering plate, offering basket, that would be your offering to us. And we thank you again for your presence in that regard. We have a couple of announcements that I want to share with you. First of all, these postcards were sent out. You are invited to take several. They're out there in the entryway. You know, they're gold color, just like this. You're invited to take them and hand them to your friends and people that are, you know, have had relations with this church in the past. We just want to make sure everyone gets the word in this regard so that they will be aware of it and can be present. Also, the ornaments that were created are absolutely gorgeous. I know you can't see this, but this is what they look like. And they are out there on the table. I invite you to take a look at them. There's a message on the back and then the picture of the church. And it's kind of three-dimensional. It looks, it's indented there on the ornament. They're $15 a piece, $25 for two. Make sure you get those. It is just, they really turned out well. The team did great in ordering those and everything. Sharon, do you have another word for us in that regard?
Well, I just want to thank all of you who signed up to bring cookies. I had a wonderful response for cookies for Monday night. And I just want to encourage those of you who are pie makers or who have ice cream makers to sign up today for pie or ice cream. And if you don't want to make ice cream, you'd just like to go to the grocery store and buy some ice cream, we'll take that too. So, you know, we're wanting to have a, I know that our homecoming time with our pastors coming back is going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. And I don't know of any thing that we Methodists ever do that doesn't involve food as well. So I just hope that you'll help support this with your donations of the cookies, pies, and ice cream. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sharon. You all have done so much work, and we appreciate the work that you've done, and it is just amazing stuff. Make sure that you fill this out, put your name, telephone number in there, and put this in the offering basket as well if you would do that for us. Now, there's one thing that I'd like you to add to this. If you, you know, the last several weeks, we have been guided by three simple rules, a Wesleyan way of living. It's by Bishop Reuben Job. If you're interested in this book, would you write this down on this insert, either on the back or on the bottoms, and we will order, you know, however many people want a copy of this. Several have came up to me and says, hey, I would like to get a copy of this book. It is a great book. It can take as long or as little a time as you want to read through it. But anyway, it might be cheaper if we buy several together. So make sure you write that down on this pink insert as well so that we will know that you want that. Don't forget your Cliff Notes, your study guide for this week. Take that and your bulletin where the joys and concerns are written down, and that way you'll have a little devotion that's with regard to today's sermon that you can do your devotions. We have a special introduction today. I tell you what, he's making himself known right now. And and I know Mom probably doesn't appreciate it, but I love it. I love it. Let's welcome Jet Riker Flutie. See, he's already enjoying the limelight. He quieted down. But that is just, you know, you've heard me say it before. Amazing miracle all around. And we give God praise for Jet and, of course, his mom and dad. Amen. That's right. That's right. Please make sure you pay close attention to the announcements. I am going to do my best to not go through all of these and announce them, so please pay attention to these. A lot is going on in the church, and it's important that you know what's going on so you can be involved. I also, one other thing, I understand that on Thursday night or early Friday, the camera messed up for Olin Mills, and so Friday's appointments didn't happen. This week, the appointments are on as scheduled, all right? But Friday's appointments are going to be rescheduled. Is Cynthia? That's correct. Correct?
Correct. In case you don't get a call from Olin Mills asking you what time to reschedule, my suggestion to you is to use the phone number that's listed here if you are a Friday person whose appointment was canceled. You call them.
We apologize about that, but you know how it is with even before cameras were so electronic, but especially now that they're electronic, sometimes things happen. And so please make sure you reschedule if you were scheduled to get your picture taken for Friday night. All right, are you ready for a wonderful worship service today? Awesome, awesome. We'll have an opening prayer, and then Marion will begin us in our worship with her prelude. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you give us this opportunity to worship you, to gather together, to be able to gather together without fear, God, and focus our hearts and our minds and our souls upon you, the one who created us, the one who is creating us anew each and every day. We give you praise, God, that you were thinking of us before our eyelids were open to this day. Well, Lord, we were on your mind. What an awesome gift that is. As we gather together, God, we ask for your powerful anointing to be with us in Jesus' name. All of us need healing in some form, and we just ask for your healing, Holy Spirit, to wash over us, God. We ask that all of us who have sinned, that we have courage to lift our sins before you and to be forgiven in Jesus' name. Dear God, for those of us who have tremendous joy in our life, help us remember that joy is because of you, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. So as we come together today, Lord, may your presence make all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place. May you anoint us fully and make us truly one with you and one in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
If you would, please stand for the song of praise found on page number 64. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Be seated. Now if we have all the kids to come down for Kids Corner, as Ginger Bartlett will lead us today.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus. Sing
yes,
with me.
I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Okay. Good morning, guys. Today, I'm so excited because we've got some extra kids down here this morning. That's great. I've got some more children that I'd like to introduce you to this morning. Once in a while, I'll introduce you to some kids, and this morning I've got some more to introduce you to, okay? The first one is Tattletale Tabitha. Tabitha likes to tattle. All the time. She'll run to the teacher and say, "Hey, Susie, she looked at me. Tommy's picking his nose." I mean, everything. She tattles on everything. She's Tattletale Tabitha. The next one is Crazy Lazy Lenny. Now, Lenny is crazy about being lazy. When his folks ask him to do something around the house, yeah, he don't want to do it. He'd rather watch TV or play games or go outside. When his folks say, "Lenny, please, make your bed, take out the trash," he just argues and throws a fit. He doesn't want to do it. He's crazy about being lazy. Crazy Lazy Lenny. The next one is Big Bossy Bessie. Now, Bessie likes to be bossy. It's her way or it's a highway. When we play games, she plays games with her friends, she's in charge. We do it her way. That's all there is to it. She's bossy and she wants things her way. Big Bossy Bessie. The next guy is Hot-Tempered Terrence. Terrence has a hot temper. I mean, he gets mad at just anything, and he just blows his top. And you can see when he blows his top, his face gets all red. It's not very pretty, is it? I mean, he is hot-tempered. Hot-tempered Terrence. The next one is Mealy Mouth Millicent. Now, I don't know whether you guys know what mealy mouth means, but I'm going to tell you. Oh, Millicent, when she's with her Christian friends, she loves the Lord and she feels good about talking about Jesus and fitting right in with all her friends that go to church and love the Lord. But if she's with another group of kids that don't know the Lord, guess what? She kind of talks and acts like them. She even says kind of bad words sometimes. She's mealy-mouthed. Mealy-mouthed Millicent. Now, this next character is Sloppy Slobby Solomon. Solomon is slobby and sloppy. He doesn't comb his hair, doesn't brush his teeth very much, and see how his shirt's kind of disleveled? He just won't take care of himself. He just looks slobby and sloppy all the time. Slobby, sloppy Solomon. The next guy, I think this is the guy that we all know and we want to be like. This guy is just loving Jesus Jesse. Jesse just loves Jesus. And it kind of comes natural to him. He goes to church every Sunday and goes to Sunday school. He listens to what his pastor says and what the Sunday school teachers say. He listens to mom and dad and grandma and grandpa tell him all about Jesus and how he should live his life. And he's happy. He just loves the Lord. Just loving Jesus Jesse. Now let's make some comparison about these guys, okay? Jesse, just loving Jesse. Just loving Jesus Jesse. He doesn't tattletale all the time. He doesn't feel like that's necessary. Now I will tell you something about him. If he feels like one of his friends are going to hurt themselves or get in trouble, he will tell because he loves his friends. And he wants to make sure they're okay. But he doesn't tattletale all the time. Now, let me tell you something. Just loving Jesus Jesse is not like Crazy Lazy Lenny. I did it. He likes to help around the house. He knows he's a part of the family, and he needs to do his share around the house. And he knows that that's the way the Lord would want him to be. Big Bossy Bessie, just loving Jesus Jesse, isn't bossy at all. He just kind of goes along with the flow and plays the game. Sometimes he's in charge, sometimes he isn't. It doesn't matter to him. He knows that he doesn't have to be the boss all the time. Hot-tempered Terrence. Now, just loving Jesus Jesse is not hot-tempered. Number one, he knows that the Bible says his body's a temple of God. That means, really, that his body belongs to Jesus. And whenever you get hot-tempered like that and throw fits, that hurts your body. See how red his face is? Nope. He doesn't have a hot temper. Mealy Mouth Millicent. Now, I want to tell you something about just loving Jesus Jesse. He's not mealy-mouthed. He loves the Lord, and he lets everybody know it. Do you see his shirt, what he's got on? It says, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. And he's proud of it, and he doesn't hesitate to tell everybody how he loves the Lord. Sloppy, slobby Solomon. Now, just loving Jesus, Jesse does not look like that. He takes pride in the way he looks. He knows that when he goes someplace, he's representing his mom and dad, and he's representing Jesus. So he tries his best to comb his hair and brush his teeth and take good care of himself. He's not like slobby, sloppy Solomon. Whew. I'm glad this one's over. Okay, so this is the guy we want to be like, right? We want to be like just loving Jesus, Jesse, don't we? All of us. And I think most of us are. Okay? So let's pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful day you've given us to worship you. Thank you for loving us the way that you do, Lord. Thank you for giving us the privilege and the freedom to love you back. We love you, Lord. Amen. Okay, now, get your candy and your cups, okay?
As the kids collect change for apportionments, if you would turn to page number 469 in the blue hymnal, "For Jesus is all the world to me." Time for joys and concerns, and I have a note up here that says, "Thanks for prayers for Ethan Bailey, who is age 6, grandson of Jay and June Sterling, and great-grandson of Phyllis Howard. Ethan had an emergency appendectomy yesterday. The ambulance sent him to St. John's, and his appendix didn't burst." Some other concerns, I guess my concern. Deanna Spencer's sick today, so that's why I'm up here. She called me about 7:45 this morning, and she sounded pretty good. I don't know. She said her voice was going in and out. I don't know if she was in Branson or what. So hopefully she can make it back to work on Tuesday. I'm hoping. Yes, she did. Also keep in your prayers Mary Chance's family and Janice Gatliff's family and Bill Hughes. The flowers on the altar in memory of Janice. As far as joys, we need some joys. The radio broadcast is in honor of Debbie Morrow's birthday. Randy said that was a joy, but Debbie said that was more of a concern. So I'd like to thank everybody that came down and participated in a lunch bunch that either helped set up, helped cook, or even helped eat. It raised $960 towards the apportionments. And I'd like to thank Mike Shockman for his leadership on that with the trustees. He was here at 4 a.m. yesterday morning, or not yesterday, last Sunday, with the smoker. And he said what time he was going to be there, and I said, I'll see you at 7. So, I'd like to share something before we go to prayer that kind of puts some things in perspective. And, of course, as soon as Deanna called me, I went over to the office and checked my email, and I had an email from God. You know, God's converting to this new technology, and He sent me an email to communicate. Sometimes I'm kind of hard-headed, so He kind of communicates that way. And He starts off, He says, "I am God," which is always helpful too. But He says, "Today I will be handling all of your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If life happens to deliver a situation that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly put it in the SFGTT box, which is something for God to do box. It will be dressed on my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed into the box, do not attempt to hold on to it. If you find yourself stuck in traffic, don't despair. There are people in this world for whom driving is an unheard of privilege. Should you have a bad day at work, think of the man who has been out of work for years. Should you despair over a relationship gone bad, think of the person who has never known what it's like to have loved and to be loved in return. Should you grieve the passing of another weekend, think of the woman who in dire straits working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week to feed her children. Should your car break down, leaving you stranded away from home, think of the paraplegic who would love the opportunity to take that walk. Should you notice a gray hair in the mirror, think of the cancer patient in chemo who wishes they had hair to examine. Should you find yourself at a loss and pondering what life is all about, asking what is my purpose, be thankful because there are those who don't live long enough to get that opportunity. And should you find yourself the victim of other people's bitterness or ignorance, remember that things could always be worse. You could be them. Let us pray. Dear God, we come before you today a little tired, a little worn out from last week. We pray that you hold us up this morning while we refuel our spirit. We pray that you'll be with Pastor Eric as he refuels us through your word. We ask healing upon those who are sick this morning and healing for those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. And in the coming weeks, we pray that you be with the leadership of our church, that you may guide the decisions that they make. Amen.
Thank you, Weston. Our scripture for today is taken from the book of Colossians. Colossians, I invite you to turn in your Bibles, hopefully, or the Pew Bible in front of you if you forgot your Bible, to the book of Colossians. Now, for those who don't know, let's help them out. Is it in the Old or the New Testament? The New Testament, yes, and it is right after the book of Philippians, which is right after Ephesians, which might help you out a little bit. As you're looking for that, Colossians 2 is where we'll be reading from. I wanted to congratulate the JV and varsity football teams this last week for winning. And the varsity beat a 5A school, which is pretty amazing. And I also, you know, I The first service, I talked to Terry, but I think he left probably because of my comment. But I think all of the Big 12 football teams won except for KU. And I think they lost to a Division II team. But anyway, we're not keeping track, so... I have to tell you, though, that Division II team has been in the Division II championship for 5 years, along with Northwest Missouri State University, and they swap back and forth the championship in Division II. So, anyway, it's congratulations to them. What? Huh? KU wins twice a year, and that's when they play Missouri and K-State. Yeah, yeah. We'll let them have that one. We'll let them have that one. All right, Colossians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 6. If you are able, would you please stand with me? Close your Bible on your finger. Raise that Bible high above your head, and let's say our Bible pledge this morning. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul tells us, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, over the last several weeks, we've been talking about this little book that I announced earlier. It is Three Simple Rules, A Wesleyan Way of Living. Bishop Reuben Job wrote this, and it comes directly from John Wesley's writings, which is in our Book of Discipline, if you'd like to read those. But the first one that we talked about was Do No Harm. Do no harm. If we examine our lives, our work, our family relationships, our impact on the environment, all kinds of things in our value systems and lifestyles, we would discover that if we were to practice the do no harm guideline, it would have an enormous impact on the way we live our life. The second one was to do all the good that you can. In fact, Wesley had a long way of saying this, and let's say this together. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. In other words, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whenever provided the opportunity, do good. Amen? All right, so we have... Let's say it together. Do no harm and do good. Those are the first two that we've talked about. And each and every one of us, each and every one of us have countless opportunities in a typical week to do something good and kind, extra. And we pass those opportunities over and over many times, many times. Do all the good you can and don't ever miss an opportunity to do something good for another person. If we truly practice those two things, do no harm and do good, if we truly practice those two things, we would revolutionize our lives and the lives of the people that are around us. Now, our focus this week is on the third guideline that Wesley gave. It's a little harder to understand. Because Wesley used language that was churchy language from the 1700s, and it doesn't roll off our tongues easy these days. Wesley's third guideline was this: attend to the ordinances of God. attend to the ordinances of God. And someone in our own time has translated that into a modern way of putting it, and that is what we have today. Stay in love with God. Would you say it with me? Stay in love with God. Do the things that keep you in love with God. Now, I know, I understand, many of the guys just checked out right there. They're gone for the day, right? And they're thinking to themselves, we're thinking to ourselves, man, why didn't I go fishing today, man? He's talking about love. Love. Oh, yuck. Love, right? Well, stick with me here, guys. Just stick with me just a minute. How do you become good at something? Practice, right. So let's say fishing. Can I just go to the store, get a fishing pole and a lure, go to some body of water and throw it in and be a good fisherman? That's why I said fisherman. I've been fishing since the time I was about 3 years old, maybe younger, and I'm just trying to reach the good level, right? I'm not even near the great level, right? So you know, it takes learning about the fish, right? It takes practice, like you said. What about golf? Can I just go and buy a set of golf clubs and golf balls and tees and par the golf course wherever it is I'm playing? You can't? Man, that's what I did. No, just kidding. No, you can't, right? Why not? Takes practice. What else? Experience. Knowledge. Passion. Excellent. Love. Well, you probably could love on the fish a little bit, but I don't know about the golf clubs. A lot of golf clubs end up around a tree somewhere. I suppose you could love them. Well, you know, you're exactly right. John Wesley named these three practices that keep the relationship between God and humans vital, alive, and growing. Vital, alive, and growing. Here's what he thought, and these are his words. Public worship of God, the Lord's Supper, private and family prayer, searching the Scriptures, Bible study, and fasting as essential to a faithful life. These are the things that Wesley considered essential to a faithful Christian life. What do you think about that list? We know that Jesus said that the greatest command was to love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and strength. It's my thought, quite honestly, that people of our time and our place don't really think and experience ourselves to be lovers of God. We may believe in God. We may believe that, you know, in many things of that nature, that God is creator, that God does this, that God does that, that God protects us. We may believe a lot of those things. We may believe that all of what God does is good, but have we really fallen in love with God? Have we fallen in love with God in such a way that the very thought of God makes our heart melt a little bit, beat a little faster? And we feel that warm, fuzzy feeling inside when we think of what God has done for us. It seems to me, if we think of relating to God that way, of falling in love or staying in love with God, that we would look at what's involved in loving a human being and staying in love with a human being and learn from that experience in ways in which we stay in love, we can stay in love with God. Do you want to be in love and stay in love with someone for a long time? Do you want to, you know, maybe some of you have been married for a long time in the past and your spouse died. Maybe some of you are still married for a long time. Someone I was speaking to yesterday had been married 54 years. Was that my mom and dad? Have they been married 54 years? Staying in love a long time. That's hard to do, isn't it? How do you do that? What's required in order for that type of staying power, you might say, in a relationship between two human beings? How do you get good at loving someone like that? Well, one thing that you have to do is you have to give them good quality time, right? Good quality time. If we're going to stay in love with someone, our lives have to entangle, we have to overlap, we have to wrap around each other in ways that some of the best of our time is invested in this other person. If we don't do that, it is really hard to sustain love, isn't it? How might we apply that to God? What would it mean to know that some of our best, some of our most focused time, some of our best quality time, some of the best of who we are needs to be devoted to and focused upon the God of all creation? What would that look like? I don't know if you remember a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that there are some other faiths that I kind of think maybe are better at this than we are as Christians. Because a lot of us are going, oh my goodness, I just don't have time, Weston. I mean, I'm going from sun up to sundown with my schedule. But you know, it's interesting. It doesn't matter where other faiths are. They can be in the middle of the street, and what do? At a certain time of day, they get on their knees, and what do? They pray to God. But yet us Christians who believe that God sent His only Son to die for us. Just think about that for a minute. Don't let hearing it for years smooth it out. Sent His Son to die for us so that we could have a relationship. We can't even devote time to God. And then when we do, you know, sometimes when we talk about prayer, oh, Eric, man, you know what? I start praying. Next thing I know, the sun's coming up. Tell me something. If you devote that kind of time to the person you want to spend the rest of your life with, are you going to spend the rest of your life with them? Every time you listen to someone and you fall asleep, do you think you're going to have a good relationship? If the time you devote to that person, you're 9/10 asleep, right? What kind of relationship are you going to have? And yet God is an all-loving God. He's going to love us no matter what. Well, yeah. What kind of people are we to taking advantage of a God like that? Of the God like that? What kind of people do we think we are? Oh, He's going to love us no matter what. Right? I had a professor in seminary that called that cheap grace. Cheap grace. So if we want our human relationships to last, we give the best of our time, right? We give the best time of our day, the quality that we can, all the quality we can muster for our relationship. And yet many times we have issues doing that for the one who created us, the one who knew us in our mother's womb, the one who knew our name and had great plans for us before we were born. Well, Paul says this, and what he says in our scripture today is very important for this discussion, and it goes like this. As you therefore have received Christ, Jesus, the Lord, continue to what? Continue to live your lives where? In Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Now, you know, it's funny, I grew up as more or less a farmer. I grew up around farmers. I was a livestock person, but a lot of my friends were row crop farmers. And this was reminded to me last week at Lunch Bunch, the story of, for instance, corn, right? Whenever corn grows, and let's say corn has, and this happens with trees as well, let's say a tree or a stalk of corn or whatever has all the water it needs, never goes through any storm, what happens to the roots? Huh?
Yeah, they're shallow, right? They don't have to search for water, right? They never have to have any issues in their life, quote unquote, right? So everything is right there for them. And so they have a shallow root system. Well, what happens whenever the first, you know, a little bit more rain comes that causes a little bit of a washout or wind comes? What happens to that tree or that row crop? They're washed out, right? But what happens whenever that row crop or that tree has to search for water? Maybe it goes through several storms. You know, those storms that bend you but don't break you, right? What happens to those roots then? They grow deep, right? See, the Apostle Paul is telling us to live our lives in Him rooted. That, I mean, if you can feel that word, it's like rooted. It's like way down here, rooted. Live our lives rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Well, so, here we are. We've talked about good quality time. Good quality time. Something else that we have to give to our human spouses or human relationships is, let me back up here a little bit. What is our good time? Have you thought about that in your life before I move on? When is a good time for you? For the one who has more or less given everything for your life. What is a good time for you to dedicate to this God? You know, maybe as in me asking this question, maybe I'm thinking, wow, I really don't give quality time to my human spouse, let alone my the God who created me. Right? I want you to think about that this week. What is your good time? What is the time in which you are able to focus, when you're able to be intentional and have a kind of intentional connection with God? What is a good time? Does God get any of your good time, my good time, to stay in love or to fall in love with God? Do you have any of that opportunity in your life? Being in love with the person requires that we stick with it. It requires that we give some of our best. Do you desire to show evidence of your interest in salvation, Wesley would ask? Stay in love with God. Stay in love with God. All right. Something else that's required in human love to make it work. It seems to me that we don't stay in love with a person very long if we don't respect that person. Respect that person. It's hard to love someone over a period of time if we don't respect what he or she stands for, isn't it? If we don't respect what they bring to life, and if we don't respect their values, we fall out of love. We can't love someone that we don't respect. You may not think that we might be guilty of disrespecting God. You may think, hey, I respect God. But let's think about this. Do we respect the values and the life lessons that come from God? Do we? If the values and life lessons that come from God are what we, you know, are that we are to feed the hungry, we're to clothe the naked or care for the sick or visit the imprisoned, do we truly respect that? Do we say, well, someone else will do that. I don't have to do that. That's not my thing. Or do we respect it enough to make it a part of who we are? When we have the teaching from Jesus that we are to love our neighbor and love our enemy, do we really respect God? Do we respect that God is teaching and what God is teaching? And that maybe some of our thinking is contrary or maybe it's misguided. If we're going to stay in love with another human being, we've got to respect where they come from. We've got to respect the values and their intentions and goals and dreams of their lives. I wonder, do we really give that kind of respect to God? If you wish to show evidence of your desire for salvation, Wesley asks, stay in love with God. The final thing that is required in human lives is that if we're going to love someone for a long time, we've got to help them out. We've got to help them out.
We've got to support and encourage and sometimes roll up our sleeves, right? And get to work. It may not be our passion. It may be our spouse's passion. But we got to roll up our sleeves and help them out. Get involved in the other person's life projects. On one end of the spectrum, that may be as simple as sharing the household work. On the other end of the spectrum, maybe we will sacrifice our career because of something that our spouse is passionate about. That's the kind of investment to help their life projects and their life goals that we make in those that we love. If God projects and, excuse me, if God's projects and God's goals has something to do with transformation of this world into the kind of world that God intends it to be, do we bring that same kind of willingness in our relationship with God? If God's intentions and God's goals have something to do with caring for those in need, and if God's goals have something to do with transforming our world from a place of injustice and violence to a place of peace and justice, are we going to help out? Are we going to make a part of our life project to further the goals of the loved one, our God? That's what it takes to stay in love. If we're going to love our spouses for a very long time, their goals and their life projects have to be something we are willing to buy into, to contribute to, right? Are the life projects and goals of God our life projects and goals? Have you ever thought about that? Most of you sitting here know what God's projects and goals are. Many of you sitting here have been not only in worship and church many years, but you've been in this church for many years. Are the life projects and goals of God our life projects and goals? Let's say these together with us. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. If we want to have and if we want to display evidence that we take our faith journey seriously, those are the ways that we can show it. Wesley said, these are the things that characterize the lifestyle of a Methodist. He ended one of his sermons that way. These are the things that characterize the lifestyle of a Methodist. And again, the Apostle Paul says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. Stay in love, folks. Stay in love with God. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you so much for the wisdom that Wesley brings us. We give you praise, Lord, for all that you give to us. And honestly, Lord, we thank you for all those things that you protect us from as well. We ask, God, that as we go from this place and as we think about your words today, that we would give you time, that we would do things to help us stay in love with you, build our relationship, God, you and us. Give us strength to do no harm and to do all the good we can as well. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Communion, I have a song. It's not in our hymnals. It's a very simple song. I almost consider it, I know those of you in Lectio Divina would disagree with me, it's almost a breath prayer. You could take lines out of this and you could use them as breath prayers. And breath prayers, you can be anywhere. You can be driving down the road and you can use a breath prayer. You just say it on your breath. It's not really voice. It's just almost a whisper. And you say it over and over again. If you know the song, sing along. It's very simple. So if you don't know it, you'll be able to catch up really quick. Just stay seated. Prepare your hearts and minds for Holy Communion and sing this song with us. I love you, Lord. Would those helping with communion please come forward at this time?
Join me in our closing song, number 170. Let's sing the first and the last verse.
Thanks so much for being here today. Don't forget to stop by and pick up your ornament or ornaments, and also a postcard for our 160th homecoming, so you can spread that to your friends and neighbors. Again, thank you for being here. My prayer is that you felt God's presence today and that you'll be able to take that into the world and bring healing to people that are around you. So go from this place knowing that you are a child of good, and we're a child of God, which is good. And we are called, see, I was already on to the next thing. Isn't that terrible? We are called to do good. Amen. We're called to do no harm. And we're called to stay in love with God. Go from this place knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God. Take that message to everyone you meet. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shalom to you.